Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, Germans took to the polls to choose their new chancellor to replace Angela Merkel, who has spent the last 16 years at the helm. But there was no clear winner, and the country is no closer to knowing who will be its next leader.
Well, the two major parties, Finance Minister Olaf Scholz, Social Democrats, and the conservative CDU-CSU bloc under Armin Laschet, are both planning their next move to secure the chancellery. So joining us now for an analysis is Emily Mansfield, Principal Economist for Europe at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Emily, thanks for joining us at this hour.
Of course.
Let's start things off with the key issues for Germany in this election.
So, interestingly, this election campaign was surprisingly light on substance. It was quite a superficial debate. Rather than the issues, the campaign was more about the personalities and the big question of who will lead Germany after Merkel. If we did have to think about what the key topics were, one of them is clearly climate change. And although all of the parties agree on this, the big question is how rapidly to move. So lots of discussion about greening industry and improving infrastructure as well. The second big issue that was under debate was in terms of the recovery from the pandemic, a big question around social justice and trying to ensure that everyone in society is receiving what they need to in the wake of this crisis.
And big shoes to fill there, Emily, Angela Merkel's shoes. And we did see the candidate for Angela Merkel's Christian Democrat-led bloc, Armin Laschet, led the party to, well, its worst ever result after 16 years in power. What went wrong for them?
Well, I think, to be honest, they chose the wrong candidate to begin with. Laschet was chosen despite the fact that he was less popular than the alternative, the CSU leader in Bavaria, Söder. So to begin with, they chose someone who was weakened to start with. But then Laschet managed to have a whole series of gaffes that dogged him throughout the campaign, questions around plagiarism. He was caught laughing on camera just in the wake of the floods. So all sorts of really minor issues. But I think what it really came down to was that Laschet was too complacent. He was reliant on the support that Merkel had. And instead of pushing forwards with a new policy position for the CDU that people could get enthusiastic about, he really relied on that support that she had, and that did not transfer to him.
So, Emily, for the past, well, over a decade, the situation in Germany has been to stay the course with Angela Merkel, and perhaps that's what Armin Laschet was trying to do. But does he have a path to the chancellery now?
Potentially he does, yes. He certainly thinks he does. The way the seats are now allocated within the Bundestag, it would be possible to have a majority coalition with three parties led by the CDU, working with the Greens and the Liberal Party, the Free Democrats. So this is termed a Jamaica coalition because of the colours of the parties match the Jamaican flag. And it would have a majority. The CDU could work quite well with the FDP. They share a lot of ideological ground. There would be quite a degree of friction with the Greens. But I think the biggest concern with this coalition option is just the loss of credibility that Laschet has, having lost the election, having run a very poor campaign. And if you look at any of the public polls around who people want to be the next chancellor, Scholz is miles ahead. So Scholz has the momentum at this point. And I think this Jamaica coalition could only really be negotiated if the traffic light coalition, which Scholz would lead with the SPD along with the Greens and the FDP, were to fail.
That said, Emily, what would a Scholz-led government look like then?
Well, to be quite honest, it would look remarkably similar to a CDU-led government. The thing about German politics is it is very, very centrist. And these very detailed coalition negotiations tend to pull all of the parties into compromises that make the end result even more centrist. So that said, I mean, yes, there will be a slightly more social democratic slant. As I mentioned, the SDP will work well with the Greens. So they'll definitely be pushing for perhaps some tax rises, certainly some lots of climate change initiatives, big infrastructure push. In all of these areas, they will receive pushback from the FDP. And so this debate is going to happen during these coalition negotiations, which will really put together the agenda for the government.
We're speaking to Emily Manfield, the principal economist for the Economist Intelligence Unit, about, well, life post Angela Merkel in Germany and for the rest of the world, of course. Emily, the coalition talks are expected to take months. So what sort of outcome are we expecting, or is that even something that we can talk about at this point?
We can definitely talk about it. The number of coalition options that are on the table now is less than what it was before the election, because some of the possibilities, most notably a left-leaning coalition with the Left Party and the Social Democrats and the Greens, is off the table. They didn't win a majority. So what we're left with are three possibilities. One is a renewed grand coalition between the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats, but this time led by the Social Democrats. I don't think that the CDU would agree to this. So this is very unlikely. That leaves two other options. One of these is the Jamaica coalition that I mentioned, so led by the Christian Democrats with the Greens and the FDP. And the other is referred to as traffic lights, and this is led by the Social Democrats, again with the Greens and the FDP as kingmaker. And this traffic light coalition, I think, is most likely at this point. I think that's the general consensus in Germany at the moment. They certainly will be looking to build a coalition first. One interesting development subsequent to the election on Sunday night is that the FDP and the Greens announced that they would start by holding talks together, the two of them. So these are the two smaller parties, but they believe that if they can reach agreement between each other, and perhaps they have the strongest disagreements on policy, if they can reach a united stance, they will have a significant degree of leverage with these bigger parties, and they can almost decide which to go with.
Speaking of a united stance, let's just talk about the split that we're seeing in the political landscape in Germany at the moment as well. What do you think that suggests about the country at the moment?
I think there's two things to say. One is that there is a story of fragmentation that is happening across Europe, and this has clearly reached Germany as well. We've seen the big tent parties, the Christian Democrats and the Social Democrats, really losing vote share for the last few decades. Certainly in this election, we saw younger voters very much turning to the Greens and the FDP. I think the second story is, as I mentioned, in Germany, political battles are really fought in the center. So all of the mainstream parties are fighting for the center ground. And what we saw is that both the far right Alternative for Germany party and the far left party really now only have support in the former East Germany. So they've really lost support, and really what's happening is all happening in the center.
So what sort of priorities now will this new government have once it's formed, taking into consideration the landscape that we are living in at the moment?
So I think one thing that is definitely coming is a lot of infrastructure investment. Germany has been living with some very strict fiscal rules for a long time now, and we're starting to see the result of that in some public infrastructure that's starting to crumble around the edges. So digital infrastructure will receive a big push, and also greening industry. And you'll notice that these two priorities correspond with the European Commission's big priorities at the moment, so digital investment and green investment. In Germany as well, of course, there's this huge automotive sector that's been kind of slow transitioning towards low emissions vehicles. So there's going to be a big focus on boosting electric vehicle production. There's a desire to reduce that trade reliance on China, at least to some degree, which will lead to greater investment in producing semiconductors domestically. And then, of course, there's the energy transition, which is all the more important given the importance of climate change issues in this election. So we're going to be seeing more investment in renewables. I think the other big area of discussion is going to be around fiscal policy. But this is actually not likely to change a huge amount. The SDP does not want to have any tax rises and doesn't want to change the debt brake. So that will limit what investment can perhaps be pursued. That said, the debt brake would need a two-thirds majority in Parliament to change because it's in the Constitution. So that's not going to happen anyways. And it's possible that they will find a way to kind of work around these rules. For example, climate investment might be possible by using off-balance sheet green investment agency, some kind of special purpose vehicle that's not caught up by the debt brake rules, but that will allow Germany to fulfill its climate change targets.
Very quickly, Emily, before we let you go, we've got to talk about this. Angela Merkel, what do you think her legacy will be? I mean, it's been 16 years.
Yes, well, I think she'll definitely go down in history as an extremely good crisis manager. Mm-hmm. She dealt with the global financial crisis, the Eurozone crisis, the refugee crisis in 2015, and now the pandemic. So she was very, very effective in dealing with this whole series of crises that Europe faced. She was really seen as flying the flag for liberal democracy as well, particularly when Trump was in office in the US. Of course, she will not be going down in history as a visionary politician. And I think a lot of the criticism that has come her way, and I'm sure will continue to do so, centres on this matter.
Okay, Emily, well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We've been speaking with Emily Mansfield, Principal Economist, Europe at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Thank you again, Emily.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.